ACES and the University of Illinois Extension are taking knowledge both farther and faster than ever before, with 24/7 access for a range of audiences. FarmDoc is one, but only one example of how an award-winning team of 8 to 10 faculty members contribute integrated, research-based information every day for round-the-clock access by decision makers in the agricultural and agribusiness sector. Now, although this slide is not in your packet, a very important dimension of ACES involves our international work, where we have several active programs in Africa, South America, India, China, and elsewhere. In response mainly today to USAID support and funding and the private sector. We're also very, very proud of our many study abroad programs and student participation in those programs. Priorities in ACES map very well to what I believe are emerging priorities of the campus, such as food, energy, health, the environment. And for the past 3 years, the college and its departments have worked very hard on figuring out how to move forward strategically in those areas under different fiscal environments. But all strategies are ultimately revealed, ultimately defined by behavior, right? And in academia, perhaps the most important behavior involves how you define faculty behavior and then our faculty positions and then how you fill them. This next slide lists some of the faculty hire in ACES during the last couple years, reflecting some of those strategic investments. And as you know, faculty we hire today will drive us towards the societal impacts we make in the future. And that future includes feeding 9 billion people 40 years from now, which will require integration of talent and technology across the knowledge spectrum and across both public and private partners. College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences will continue to focus on our strength, excellence, and relevance to meet the great challenges and issues of our time, and that is why we ask many to imagine your future with ACES at Illinois. Thank you. Thank you. Probably don't have time.
I had a question.
Sure.
Last night, Professor Viswanathan talked about the changing demographics of the world, the fact that when he was born, there were going to be 3 billion people, that there'd be 9 billion by 2050. You echo that in one of your last slides. Are we capable of feeding that many people, and if so, how have those changes occurred?
So we aren't capable today, and that's the challenge. Will we be capable 40 years from now, and will the research behind that capability be supported in the right form and at the right level? And that's where we come to the table, I hope. In fact, I know we can, but it'll depend a lot on whether others agree at the federal level, at the state level, and of course the private sector is more and more important to us to get that job done.
You know, food scarcity is a destabilizing political force and can destabilize not only a country but entire regions. Yep. What is the federal government doing to fund increased research around providing an adequate food supply?
You know, that's interesting. I'm not sure it's one of its highest priorities is in the scarcity and security area. I mean, it focuses, you know, you can think of food issues as belonging to one of three areas: production, you know, safety, and security. And you ask about the latter. I think that the latter is the least supported area among those three issues, and that needs to change.
As the demographics for farmers change, and I guess simply put, you could say that 50 years ago they might have been a whole bunch of very small mom and pop operations, and many of those have evolved into larger, not corporate farming, but yeah, larger mom and pop operations, yeah, with a high level of sophistication. How do we provide service to both the traditional smaller